It's 2005, 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm sitting alone on the side of my bathtub in my Bible college dormitory, and I am crying out to God for more. Up to that point, my Christian experience had been legalism and limitations, and I couldn't handle it anymore. I wanted the Christian life that I saw when I was reading the book of Acts. So, not really knowing how any of these supernatural things work, I cried out for the Holy Spirit to come and to fill me. And it happened. I felt His presence coming over me, and as I spoke, my mouth started forming words that I didn't know. I don't know what I was expecting, but there in that bathroom, while all of my roommates slept, the Holy Spirit showed up, and I got terrified. Welcome to the Christian Life Podcast. I'm Scott Ingram, your host. I have been away for a few weeks as my family has come back from East Africa for a few months and we have been running all around the country. But now we're back. Thank you for tuning in. This is episode number 3, Holy Spirit. If you've been around Christianity for long, I would assume that you have at least heard of the Holy Spirit. However, even to jump to that conclusion could be very wrong. See, there's an interesting story in the book of Acts, chapter 19, where Paul goes to the city of Ephesus and he meets a group of Christians. As he gets to know them, he doesn't begin the conversation the way some of us might. Like, we might ask questions like, "Oh, which church do you go to?" Or, "Who's your pastor?" Or, "When you got baptized, how did you get baptized?" But Paul jumps straight to his most important question. He asks them in verse 2, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And they said, "No, we haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." In today's episode, we're going to talk about this Holy Spirit. Whether you have heard of Him or not, whether you have been filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit or not, we want to look at what the Bible says about Him and how this promise of the Father to us is the greatest benefits that we Christians have in living the Christian life. Let me begin by giving you a little bit of my story, because my background in the Holy Spirit comes from many different theological lines. As I shared before, I wasn't raised in church. My family was comprised of a great big cross-section of denominational opinions. My parents and grandparents alone ranged from Church of Christ to Baptist to historic Pentecostals. To say the least, my understanding of the Holy Spirit was a bit confused when I got started. See, when I got saved at 16, I joined the Baptist Church. At least the version of Baptist that I was a part of typically believes a doctrine called cessationism. Now, cessationism is a big word, but it really just means that the Holy Spirit doesn't do much of the supernatural, crazy stuff anymore that He did in the beginning. Like, cessationists believe that the Holy Spirit comes, He convicts you of sin, and He leads you to get saved, but other than that, He doesn't do much. Where the Bible records healing and miracles and prophecies and all of those things, cessationists believe that those things ended either at the completion of the Bible or with the death of the last of the 12 apostles. When I joined this church at 16, I bought into that teaching. I even did some major damage to the relationship I had with one of my grandmothers because I criticized her beliefs about the Holy Spirit, and I told her that speaking in tongues was the devil. Later, when I felt like God was calling me into ministry, I went into Bible college, and it was in Bible college that things began to change. It was there that instead of just listening to the teachings of my pastor and some of the people around me, I started to study the Bible for myself. Now, I will tell you, if you're a cessationist, and you read the book of Acts as if it really happened, it's going to mess with your theology. That's what happened to me. I started reading the book of Acts, and I realized that my Christian life was a bondage to a religiosity. Some would say to a religious spirit. I started seeing that the life I was living was a bunch of rules that you had to follow. You have to dress a certain way. You don't listen to a certain kind of music. You don't go to certain places. You go to church 3 times a week. You do all of these things to make sure you're okay with God, but it's just a religious system, and it wasn't life-giving. I started praying to God, how do I find the life of the Holy Spirit, the life of the Christian that I'm reading about in the Bible? As I began praying that, I actually covered one of the walls of my dormitory with the words free indeed and abundant life. Because Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and life abundantly. He said, if the Son makes you free, you'll be free indeed. And I had been praying, God, where is this freedom? Because I'm in bondage. What does abundant life look like? Because I feel like I'm in prison right now to this religious system. And that was my prayer for a lot of months. As I went home for Christmas that year, I sat down with my grandmas and I just started asking questions. I started listening to their stories of how they started speaking in tongues, how they got filled with the Holy Spirit, how my Pentecostal-raised grandmother ended up Church of Christ. I heard stories from my other grandmother who was Baptist, also raised Pentecostal. She's sharing stories with me like when she got appendicitis as a kid, the doctors said there's nothing we can do, she's not going to live. And her sister, who was just a couple of years older than her, took her out to their barn, laid her on the hay, laid hands on her and prayed, and she got completely healed. I'm hearing stories about how God had spoken in the past, anointed spirit-filled preachers working the miraculous, and it really got my hunger up for, again, the life I'm seeing in the book of Acts. Now I'm hearing that it's available today. I came back from the Christmas break, and I started hearing some of these same stories from a friend of mine named Bobby. He went home, and his Baptist parents had joined a Pentecostal church. Over Bobby's break, he actually saw healing taking place. He saw his grandfather's ankle, which was swollen up to the size of a softball, completely healed. He watched it shrink. He experienced prophecy. He had somebody read his mind when he prayed to God silently. The guy then told him, God showed me you just prayed this. And so he started experiencing it. And together we're going, yes, we want this. We've got to have this. And so it started us more down this journey of pursuing the Holy Spirit, of wanting this promise of the Father, this life that we were reading about in the book of Acts. And God is faithful. As we pursued Him, we both got filled with the Holy Spirit. Mine happened sitting on that bathtub at 3 in the morning. The Holy Spirit showed up. Everyone around me is asleep. I prayed for a few hours, and I'm crying, literally crying, saying, God, I need you. If you don't come into my life, I don't know what I'm going to do. And He came, His presence showed up, I felt Him, and then I started speaking in tongues. I don't necessarily believe that that is the only sign that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but at the time, it's the only sign I knew. It's the only one I had heard about, and so God did that for me to show me that it was Him. And since that day, my life has been radically different. In the next episode, we're going to talk about some of the things He's worked in my life. We're going to talk about how Scripture started coming alive and I started understanding the Bible in ways that I couldn't understand it before. We're going to talk about discerning of spirits. We're going to talk about healings and deliverances and all these things that God's been doing. But I'm telling you, it changed when I went just from being a believer who didn't believe in the power of God to being a believer who believed the Bible and believed that God still wants to do those things today. And as He came into my life in power, things have really changed. So if this is the promise to all of us, if the Holy Spirit is promised to all of us as believers, The next thing we need to look at is, you know, how does it happen? When does it happen that we get filled with His Holy Spirit? Some people believe that you're filled with the Holy Spirit at the moment of your salvation. Others teach that being filled with the Holy Spirit is a completely separate event from getting saved. It might happen at the same time, but typically it comes later. Then there's a group that says that it's both of these things. You're partially filled with the Holy Spirit at salvation, and then you're filled or baptized fully at a later point. I would point us to the original disciples, because if that's confusing, then the experience of the disciples actually might make it more confusing. But when were they filled with the Holy Spirit? We see in John chapter 20, verse 22, that Jesus breathed on the disciples and they received the Holy Spirit. However, in the last chapter of Luke, when he's getting ready to leave, he told them to wait in Jerusalem until they receive the Holy Spirit and His power. He continues that thought in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, where he tells them, after the Holy Spirit comes on them, they will receive power to be His witnesses. When the day of Pentecost comes, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And so they were already filled when Jesus breathed on them, but then they're filled again at Pentecost. Interestingly, if you continue reading, Peter and John go on trial for their faith for healing a guy. They get set free from the trial, and then all the believers are praying together, and they're asking God for more boldness. And in Acts 4:31, they all get filled with the Holy Spirit again. So what's going on? Like, Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit, then tells them wait for the Holy Spirit. Then when the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost, they see power and signs, and then they get filled with the Holy Spirit again. Personally, I believe that contrary to what most major denominations teach, there are different levels of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe you can be filled with the Holy Spirit and be filled more and be filled again and be filled more. I've heard it said, you know, we leak. My spiritual father, Dr. Randy Clark, says there is more. Because in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, the apostle writes and he says that as you are evil fathers, but you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? How much more will God give you the Holy Spirit? How much more? Like, it implies that you can have more of the Holy Spirit than what you currently have if we ask Him. We read in Galatians chapter 5, verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I believe that saying that if you're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, meaning the Holy Spirit is already in you, then you should also walk your life immersed in the Holy Spirit. There's more. And so I want to talk briefly about the different fillings of the Holy Spirit and what He does, because I think there are multiple fillings, and I believe there's more for you right now. But the first thing the Holy Spirit does is He does seal you for salvation. This isn't controversial. Everybody who's a Christian believes this. Ephesians 1 verse 13 says, in Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and you believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. So the moment you got saved, the Holy Spirit came in and He sealed you. He put the mark of God on your life. He makes you a child of God. He lives inside you from the moment you're saved. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 tells us, it is God who established us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put His seal on us and given us His Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. The Holy Spirit lives in believers and guarantees our salvation. That's the first filling of the Holy Spirit. You are filled with the Spirit the moment you get saved. However, I do not believe that that is enough, because I do not believe you get the fullness of everything God wants to give you when you're saved. I think sometimes he waits for levels of maturity to give you more. The one who's faithful with little gets more. The second thing that the Holy Spirit does, another filling of the Holy Spirit, is that he empowers us to live holy lives. There are scriptures like 1 Peter 1 and verse 2, scriptures like 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 13 that talk about the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that you are sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That means he makes you holy. When John the Baptist speaks of Jesus in Matthew 3:11, he says that it's him who will baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, if you know much about prophetic language, every time the Bible talks about the fire of God, it's a cleansing fire. He's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit, and when that fire of the Lord comes, it purifies us. It makes us holy. There are some denominations today that this was their foundational teaching. Denominations like the Methodists. They started out of the Great Awakening when guys like John Wesley were pursuing holiness and preaching holiness. And as the Holy Spirit began to come into their meetings with power, and I mean people falling down under the power of the Holy Spirit, shaking, trembling, all of these manifestations of the Holy Spirit, the results that they saw was that repentance came into these people and they began living holy lives. Before it was called the Great Awakening, it was called the Holiness Revival, because that's what they were preaching, is that when the Holy Spirit fills you, it means complete sanctification. He makes you holy. This is a different discussion for a different day, but I just want to make it clear, it's a sad day when we preach power, but we don't preach purity. Because before God wants to give us power, he wants to give us purity. And so that's another filling, another baptism, another work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. The third thing he does, and again, I believe he does this multiple times for some people. Peter got filled with power at Pentecost, and again, two chapters later in Acts 4. But the Holy Spirit comes, he empowers us for outreach, for evangelism, for sharing the gospel. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 tells us you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, he brought power for outreach. This becomes a major priority for even the Apostle Paul to help his churches understand the power gifts of the Holy Spirit. He writes about them all the time, especially in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. He's explaining these gifts of power that come when you're filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the power that we rely on as a church, especially in our ministry today, because to preach salvation always has an effect. But when that preaching is coupled with the power of God, with the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, it's explosive. It's why Paul says, for the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. That's 1 Corinthians 4:20. The kingdom of God is not just in talking. It's not just in reading the Bible. It's not just in words, but it's in the power of God. When he talks to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 1:5, he says, our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. It's not enough just to preach salvation if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit backing up your words. In our ministry in Africa, every time we go out and do open air meetings preaching the gospel, we preach the gospel. My favorite passage is Ephesians 2, 1 through 10, and I want people to put their faith in Christ. But in order to do that, I want them to see the reality of a changed life by sharing my testimony of how God brought me out of darkness into light, out of sin, into holiness, and we demonstrate the kingdom of God with healings and deliverance and all of these things. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. So he seals you for salvation. He empowers you to live holy lives, and then he releases gifts of power for your outreach. These are just some of the things the Holy Spirit does, and I don't want to limit him, but all three of these are scriptural. That's three different fillings or baptisms of the Holy Spirit that we can read about in the Bible. So let's get back to the basics. Let's look at this question. What does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit? The first thing that some of us are going to be interested to learn is that the Bible actually says that the Holy Spirit is God. A lot of teachings out there limit him to being a second-class citizen of the Trinity. They see him as a servant of God and a servant of Jesus, but not really equal. And so when people say, you know, the Holy Spirit is doing something, we don't want to put it on the same level as Jesus doing it or God the Father doing it. But even when you read Genesis, when God spoke, "Let there be light," we actually come to understand that it was the Holy Spirit who was bringing those things about, who was activating God's word and bringing it into reality. The Bible tells us that when we're born of the Holy Spirit, that we're called children of God. It also tells us in when Paul writes to the Corinthians that we are called the temple of God because the Holy Spirit lives in us. So he is God. He's not a second-class citizen to the Trinity, as I said. It's actually really interesting because back in my Bible college day, I took a class called Bible Doctrine, and the notes literally flowed talking about the Trinity, that we believe God exists in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then we moved on. The next section was God the Father, and it's talking about who he was. The next section was talking about Jesus Christ, God's Son, and who he was. And then there was a section skipping, and the next thing we studied was the Holy Bible. And I've actually heard it called the cessationist Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Bible, because we don't want to see the Holy Spirit actually being viewed as God. Well, the Bible says he is God. And so we have to understand that first, because if the Holy Spirit is not God, then nothing else we're talking about today matters. But if he is God, co-equal with the Father and Jesus, then we have to change the way we view him and the way we talk about him. The second thing that the Bible says about the Holy Spirit is that he is the promise of God to us as believers. And this is in the Old Testament and the New. One of the most famous prophecies is in Joel 2:29, where God prophesies in the last days. We believe this was fulfilled at Pentecost, so we're in those last days now since the New Testament was written. In the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And he prophesies some gifts. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. There will be dreams and visions and all of these things. But from the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is promised to everybody. In the New Testament, Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit being promised to us a lot. Especially, we read it in the book of John many times. In John 14:26, he says that the Holy Spirit will come and he will teach you all things. And then in John 16, verse 7, Jesus actually makes a crazy statement. He says it's better for us as his disciples that he leaves. He tells the people he'd been living with, it's better for you that I go away, because if I don't go, then the Holy Spirit won't come. And so Jesus actually says it's better for us to have the Holy Spirit with us than to have him with us in person. And so it is a promise to us as believers that the Holy Spirit is the gift of God for us to help us, to lead us, to guide us, to strengthen us, to empower us, to do all of these things. And I think it's interesting because if Jesus was here today, he might still be living in Jerusalem, walking with a few people, but he couldn't be with everybody. But it was better that he went away, because now, through the Holy Spirit, God dwells inside each one of us and can do way more than when it was just Jesus on earth as a man. So if we believe that the Holy Spirit wants to baptize every Christian to do these things in their lives, then the question is, how does a person get baptized with the Holy Spirit? Like, how does it happen? Well, the Bible records two different ways in which we can be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I've experienced both of these. The first one is to wait and to pray. This is what Jesus told the disciples to do when he ascended back into heaven. He told them, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes on you. And they did. When Pentecost happened, it's because the disciples were sitting in the upper room praying together, asking the Holy Spirit to come, asking God to fulfill that promise. This was the same as my first experience with the Holy Spirit. I was sitting on that bathtub. I'd been pursuing for months, but I was sitting on that bathtub praying, God, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Do what your word says you want to do. And he came. No hands laid. It's just the supernatural appearance of the Holy Spirit to fill you up. The second way is through what we call impartation. It's through the laying on of hands. And again, this is recorded in Scripture as well. This would be what happened when Jesus blew on the disciples and told them to receive. It's also what we see in the story of Paul in Acts 19. Remember, he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? They said, we haven't heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So he preached to them. They all get baptized. And then Paul lays hands on them in verse number 6. And they get filled with the Holy Spirit. They start speaking in tongues and prophesying. Now, in the next episode, we're going to talk more about impartation, because impartation has had a great effect in my life and ministry, and I think it's a vital thing. We're going to talk more about the power gifts of the Holy Spirit in that episode. But what I want you to understand today is that you need the Holy Spirit. Even if you've already received him, you need him more, and there are ways that can happen. You can be sitting alone or sitting with your church group, your accountability group, whatever, praying, and God can sovereignly show up and fill you. You can also have hands laid on you by mature elders in the faith, and there can be an impartation of the Holy Spirit. But you need more. You need more of the Holy Spirit. When I talk to my pastors in East Africa, I use an example of a cup and a lake. In Uganda, we live on the shores of Lake Victoria. And I tell them, if you take your cup and you go down to Lake Victoria and you scoop water into the cup, your cup is full of the Holy Spirit. But as you walk around, it's going to spill, it's going to leak out a little bit. You're going to have to go back to the lake and keep filling it. But then there's another level that if you take the same cup and you just throw it out into the middle of Lake Victoria, that cup has a different reality of just being filled. It's immersed. It's baptized in Lake Victoria. On one hand, it's filled with Lake Victoria. But on the other, it is immersed. It's submerged in Lake Victoria. That's what we need. See, our lives, we get filled with the Holy Spirit. And maybe as life goes along, we hit some trials. We're not walking as close to God. We leak. We have to go back and be filled up again and again. But the goal should be that not only are we getting filled, but that our lives live immersed, completely submerged, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I believe that's what Galatians 5 was talking about. And so to paraphrase from Galatians 5, if we live in Christ by the Holy Spirit, then let us also walk daily immersed and overflowing in the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you today, there's more. If you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit, he wants to come into your life and do a work. He wants to baptize you. He wants to wash you clean. He wants to empower you to do all the things the Bible calls you to do. He wants to come in if you'll let him. If you've had an experience with God and you can say, I've been baptized with the Holy Spirit back in such and such year. I was in a meeting and he baptized me. There's more, but we have to be hungry for it. And so I just want to close this episode by praying that God would come in wherever you're listening right now, that the Holy Spirit would come and touch you, that he would fill you up. And as you wait on him, you would find that more, how much more will God give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And so, Father God, I pray right now for every person listening to this podcast, Lord, that You would activate their faith. Lord, I've said a lot of things in this podcast that are controversial to some streams of Christianity, but Lord, I believe they're biblical. And if they're biblical, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would come and show them the truth. Father, as they're sitting and listening, I would pray that the Holy Spirit would begin to fall and touch them right now, that they would begin to sense Your love and Your presence washing over them, and Lord, that You would fill them. Lord, that You would baptize them the way You say in Your word You would do, that You would come into their life and be their advocate and be their helper and be their strengthener and be all of those things to them. And Lord, that You would pour out gifts, signs, wonders, and miracles to empower them to live godly lives and to be witnesses for Your kingdom. Father, I bless them wherever they are in Jesus' name. Well, that wraps up episode 3 of the Christian Life Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you want to give feedback on the show or ask me any questions, you can always leave a voice message at anchor.fm/thechristianlife. You can also connect with me directly at anthonyingram.com or by following along on Facebook and Instagram by following @IngramWriter. If you've enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, then please subscribe to this podcast on whichever podcasting platform you use. You can find a full list of where we're available at anthonyingram.com/podcast. You could also do me a big favor by leaving me a review wherever you listen to podcasts, as that's how they move podcasts up in the rankings on each of those platforms. Again, thank you so much for listening. I'm Scott Ingram, and until next time, may God bless you.